We thank you for being here. We're not going to give you anything. We just want to know where you are. Glad to have you here. Some folks said they saw a newspaper article and they came, and that's good. You already can see I'm much more handsome than that picture could ever be. Yeah, my haircut and everything. I don't know what they do down at the newspaper about photography. It just doesn't look like you when my wife got on me for telling her history. I didn't tell. I said I spoke kindly of you and told you. No. All they gonna read is I used to do this, and so that's what I hear all week. See, we thank Phil and Mimi. Phil has put together our Share Your Faith booklet, and they're turned out very beautiful. And we're gonna teach you how to use this. Larry's got some CDs that go with it. And Monday night's Bible study, if you'll be there. Don't you know people listen to these tapes and CDs think we're crazy? You leave the bar here and you go up and turn right between Hooters and the Big Shark. And don't you know they're saying, what? And that's how you get there. We lost two this morning. They came in and didn't like something and turned around and went right back out. And I don't know what it was they didn't like, but they didn't like something. But we only lost two. That's better than average. We generally have more than two or three leave during the sermon. So it doesn't matter to us. So we're glad you're here. Pray for little Frankie. Frankie is not doing well. They had to give him two surgeries instead of one. And he's got a tube down his nose and can't eat and 67 pounds. And it's not good. Pray real hard for little Frankie. He's very frail and very weak, and now he's afraid. He wasn't afraid, but he's got a little fear in him now. So pray for that little boy. Bless his little heart. And I went up to see him and be with him a few days, and he and his family. And it's just not a good situation, but you pray the Lord will take care of him. The doctor that he led to the Lord is the one that operated on him. I thought that, I said, that his preacher was there, a wonderful man of God. And we talked and became friends and discussed that. He said, there's a blessing in that room. I said, I understand. I said, that man that operated on that kid is the one that kid led to the Lord. I said, he saved him physically. He saved him spiritually. That'll preach. And what a wonderful thing to see. But they're in good hands up there. If you would, send Frankie a card if you can this week. The envelopes are here. You can get his address. Just send it to the Wise family. And just drop the little fellow a card. Tell him you're praying for him, that you love him. And he'll appreciate that. When you come in a room and they hand you 30 or 40 nice cards in one day, especially if you're a kid, that means a lot to him. So please do that. And please be at Bible study if you want to learn how. It won't be the only time we teach how to do this. But you can see how this works. It's a way to share your faith with a friend without making them angry or you getting in a religious argument. It just keeps the thing where it should be. And I know you have friends, relatives, people go to church all their life and the preacher never teaches them how to share their faith. They know they're supposed to, and they're fussed at for not doing it, but nobody ever showed them how. So we're going to show you how, as well as some churches around the country. So thank you for being here today. If you borrowed a Bible, turn to chapter 9 of the book of John. And this is the story of a blind man. It's not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a different blind man, him and his buddy. They stopped the Lord, as you remember. Jesus was walking by. And they stopped him. In this case, Jesus stops the blind man. So we shall pray, and then we shall expound this wonderful story from God's Word. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come in the name of Jesus and meet before the throne of grace and prayerfully spread the Word of God to someone here who doesn't know it, came out of curiosity, came because of the newspaper, came because a friend asked them to. And just were kind of curious, and they didn't know that they were sent here by the Lord God Almighty, and this is a day of destiny for them. That this is a day that they can change their entire future, not just here, but forever. And Lord, let us preach your word as it should be done. Remove me from this place that you be heard. That anything I say that should be forgotten, have it be, and all that should be remembered, make it be. That you be glorified, the church be edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. In chapter 9, it says, "And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Pardon me. "Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made a clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that was born blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "Well, he's like him." But he said, "I'm he." Therefore said they unto him, "How are your eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man is called Jesus, made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." Then said they unto him, "Where is he?" He said, "I know not." And they brought to the Pharisee. They brought him to the Pharisees. The blind man took him to them. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees asked him one more time, "How did you receive your sight?" And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I now see." Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that's a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, "Why, what sayest thou of him that opened your eyes?" And he said, "He's a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, "Is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then can he see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself." These words spake the parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He's of age, ask him." Then again called they the blind man. They won't leave him alone, will they? Then again called they the blind man that was blind, and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." They said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered and said, "I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again?" Why you want to hear it again? You want to be his disciples? I love him for saying that. Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we're Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." Then the man answered and said unto them, "Why, here ends a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he's opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins. Are you going to teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord," meaning master, "that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it's he that talks with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth." And that's 41 verses and a long thing to expound. And we shall do so anyway. It's a wonderful story of how Jesus came and what he did. and why he did it. And it starts with the first saying, Jesus passed by and saw a man, which indicates to us that he was seeking. You see, Jesus seeks people who he can help. He looks for people who he can help. If you have troubles, you lost and undone and aren't found and saved and a child of the living God, he is looking for you. Bartimaeus came to Jesus. You remember that he was walking down the street and Bartimaeus and his buddy were standing there and they screamed, Jesus, thou son of David. He said, this is my last chance to see. I'm going to stop this parade. But in this case, Jesus was looking for the man. And this was the job of Jesus, that he came from heaven to seek and to save the lost. He was looking for those in darkness that he may bring them light. And his disciples said in verse 2, who sinned? Why is this man like this? Was he born blind? What's the problem here? Did his parents sin? What's the problem with this? You see, the Jews believe that God knew the sins you were going to commit, which of course he does, and they were right in that aspect of it. And they thought that he was made to be born blind because of something he was going to do later, and that's not true. This man was born blind, and there's a theological debate about it, not a big thing. Some people think maybe he was born with no eyes, that he just had sockets there. You'll see over here that his eyes are opened, and they were closed all the time. Nobody had ever seen this man with eyes, and that's why when they brought him to people who knew him, they said, well, he looks like him, but I don't know whether it's him or not. I mean, obviously, if he looked the same that he always did, there'd be no question. Some guy would say, yeah, that's Bob. He'd been living on the block 10 years. We know him. That's him. But this guy all of a sudden looked very, very different. And you know what a disguise a pair of glasses can be. Look at Clark Kent. What a marvelous disguise he had. Do you believe they got us with that for 30 years? I mean, the guy all of a sudden had on horn-rimmed glasses. We weren't supposed to recognize Superman. And but this man is sitting there and may not have had eyes. We don't know this. This is speculation. But he could not see at all. And, of course, Jesus made clay and he spit on it. These people, too, believe that spittle had some kind of miraculous cure to it. They'd spit on your eyes or spit on a sore or whatever. And they believe that spittle had something to do with curing. And then Jesus spit in the dirt and made a little clay. And then he put it on the man's eyes, and this is Greenwayism. We speculate as to why he did that. We'll ask him when we see him, film at 11. But what we can see from what we know from Scripture is here's a man who's blind. Jesus has come and to say, I am the light. I'm to take you from darkness to light. I'm going to do that. And he could do that without touching him. He did it on other occasions just by asking blind people, would they like to see? And they said, yes. He said, have faith, and then they could see. He didn't have to touch them. Today, we have a blind lady with us today. Bless her heart. Been coming for 3 or 4 Sundays. Comes every Sunday. So there went your excuse for not being here, didn't it? So Jesus puts this clay on the man's eyes, and he's letting the man know, look, you're standing in front of the Creator. You can't see me. I created you out of dirt like this. I'm going to create you eyes out of dirt like this. And Jesus took some action. Jesus came to be the light of the world, and he came to give sight to the blind, to make the spiritually blind see the spiritual light, as well as to make the physically blind see with their eyes and be able to see as you and I do. And it's a wonderful thing. So Jesus acted toward the man. He made contact with him. That's what happens when you come to church or you listen to television or you listen to the radio or a friend of yours explains how to accept the Savior and tells you about God. That's Jesus making contact with you. You've been contacted. They've spent $98 billion to try to contact aliens from outer space. When all the time the head alien from outer space been trying to make contact with us for 2,000 years. They won't listen. Strange, isn't it? But Jesus came and made an action to go toward that man. He saw his need, wanted to answer his need, saw him in darkness, wanted to bring light, and so he set out to do that. So he anointed the man's eyes with the clay. Then he said, you're going to have to do something. He wanted the man, didn't have to. He could heal him right there. But Jesus said, we want you to be part of this. We want you to take some action. If I'm going to show you the light and I'm going to take you out of darkness, I want you to learn to obey me from the beginning. That's why I'm doing this, not just so you can see. So he told the man what to do. He said, you go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now there were other pools around. There were other places he could go and he could have washed his face. But he sent him for that one because Siloam means sent. He said, I am sending you because I was sent by God. Sent is what we're doing today. He sent me, I'm sending you. You go and tell others and send them. That was the program to get the gospel around the world. It stopped when somebody decided to build a church and wait on the people to come in. And then they stopped coming in by the thousands. They come by the hundreds, and that's wonderful. And we're glad you're here. There's 300 people here today. That's good. But look outside, there's 3,000 didn't go. And we can't get all excited because when we do the percentages, we're not doing too good. And that's why Jesus said, well, I'm going to tell you and tell you how to tell somebody and you tell them and teach them how to tell somebody. Amway did not think of that. That program came out of a carpenter shop in Nazareth. He knew that's the quickest way to reach people. Asia Minor, every man, woman, and child, was reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, person to person, in 18 months with no radio, TV, newspaper, evangelistic meeting, big churches, big evangelists coming to that. Nothing except person to person going to say, let me tell you something I've found out and I need to pass it on to you. And then I'm going to teach you how to tell it so well you can pass it on to somebody else. And when they quit that is when Christianity went downhill. 2,000 years and we still haven't told everybody on this measly planet the story of Jesus. You got to be kidding. Little bitty towns. I had to accost them preachers. I was speaking at one that had 50 preachers there. And I begged for 15 minutes time to show them a soul winning program, a witnessing program. They weren't too thrilled. I wondered why they were there. But somebody's wrong, and it's either me or you 50. And it's you 50. The little town we were in, a little town upper South Carolina, said a friend of my father's plays the piano down at the First Baptist Church. This year, she celebrated her 50th year as the pianist and organist at that church. I don't know how long they've been there before she got there, but I know without a shadow of a doubt, they've been there 50 years. You have about 3,000 people in this city, and in 50 years, that church has not been able to go out here and talk to people and tell everybody in a city of 3,000 the story of Jesus. Somebody either didn't understand the program or somebody doesn't care. They were real thrilled. But that is the program. You understand that? I mean, we got 50 churches within 3 miles of here. And still, people walk in the street, don't know the story of Jesus. Why? Somebody doesn't care. That's why. And it's very nice to have a big church and padded pews and perfumed posteriors sitting on them singing and being happy and oh how we love Jesus and then leave the door and never mention his name till next Sunday. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong when everybody knows who won the Super Bowl and everybody don't know Jesus died. There's something wrong when a crowd of people will flock to hear who was it they had at halftime of that thing. Out of place, shouldn't have been there, nobody listened. They paid 50 teenagers to gang up around the thing. Just one of those crazy shows that they have. It didn't mean a hill of beans. Probably paid them $500,000 to be there. And yet before the game, people don't want you to ask for the blessings of the Lord on the players that they not be injured, everybody be taken care of. There's something wrong with that in a country that was founded expressly for the purpose of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, as the Magna Carta reads, which you won't find in your schools anymore, by the way. Something wrong with that. something bad wrong with that. So Jesus said, I'm going to send you. And that's what he said to me, and that's what he said to you. He said, look, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. Going to be over. And the better translations have, we must work the works of him that sent me. Didn't stop with him. He came to tell us that we can tell others. That's the purpose of it. And there's a dozen ways you can do that. If you help us, that we can buy these things and provide Bibles for people and provide teaching classes for them. That's just as important as going. Don't think everybody has to go out here and run up and down the street with a sign, the end is near on them. We didn't ask you to do that. But the purpose of the church is to spread the gospel. Please understand that. I was talking to a preacher friend the other day about my Share the Faith program. And he said, well, that's a wonderful thing. And I said, well, if we can do five people out of your church who will go over this little booklet with four people each a week, which is not a big deal. I can do four by lunch. That's 20 a week. 50 weeks a year. That's 1,000 people in your little community a year that will have a face-to-face explanation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and an opportunity to personally accept him. You see, all these folks on this side are nice folks, but they think I'm talking to you. And all y'all are just wonderful, but you've dead set sure I'm talking to them. And all of you together are thinking, maybe I was addressing that guy that left. You see, that's what we do. In fact, some of you pick one out. I'll have people tell me at the door, boy, you sure tell the... And I was preaching to him. You sure told him today. I said, son, I was talking to you. And they'll pick one out. I'm sure he's getting that boy needs that. Hey, go ahead, preacher. Go ahead. Wait a minute. Hold on. But one-to-one, you see, there's no doubt. You can ask a crowd of 300 people, what time is it? Everybody's got to watch. Nobody will tell you. But if you ask someone, Bob, what time is it, please? He'll look at his watch and tell you. Same thing with the gospel. Same thing with the gospel. And we got to say, we got to have a hand in this, because this is very, very true. The day is late. Night's coming. Time's coming when we can't work anymore. We have a very, very short period of time to tell our friends and neighbors the story of the gospel. And I'll teach you how if you'll let me. And we don't need but a small crowd. I don't expect everybody to do it. Jesus does, but I'm not that optimistic. But if we can get 20 or 30, boy, we can reach a lot of people. And a lot of people who later on will wish they had reached. There were seven yesterday who just knew that life had just started for them. They were now people coming back from outer space. They'd done a wonderful thing. They were heroes. They were going to land. There would be a big celebration. They give the astronauts cars, and I'm glad they should. And they send out the calendars and the posters, and they make a big to-do of it, and they should. What a wonderful thing. And they just knew in 15 minutes they'd be landing in Florida. And then all of a sudden it came apart, and they were cremated that quick. Well, I'm not an astronaut. They were safer than you are than out here on 17. Sure were. And it's sad that when we get old, and I finally made it to 65, and I keep referring now to that 80-year-old man. I remember when it was that 50-year-old man. And then I said, I better up that and start talking about them 60-year-old men. And then the 70, and pushed it on to 80 now. See, same place you are. Same. See, nothing bad's ever going to happen to us. It's always the other guy. Psychologically, that's the way we have to live. That's what gets us by one more day. Well, nothing bad is going to happen to me. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be all right. See, preacher's not talking to me. This depression that's coming, this is not going to affect me. This war we're getting in, well, they'll get in it, but it won't affect me. It won't affect me. It'll affect everybody else. It won't affect me. Say, no, it's going to affect everybody. It's just like the sin that Jesus came to alleviate, pay for. and the darkness he came to bring light into, it affects everybody. See, I finally, the drug ads, I need to go to Madison Avenue. They finally caught up with me. You seen the ads lately say, oh, I just buy a little cocaine. I don't hurt anybody. He said, if you bought it, you bought it from somebody selling it. He bought it from a dealer. He bought it from somebody in South America who's lying, cheating, killing, murdering, and doing what else he can to ruin our country through our children, and you helped. Oh, well, I didn't think. I know. I know you didn't think. I used to like my daddy. I thought I was cynical till I met him. They'd come up to him, well, preacher, I don't think, and he'd say, I'm aware of that. didn't have many long conversations. He just, the man knew the truth, see. Man knew the truth, and truth shall send you free. Now, here we have a problem with the neighbors. They said, well, we think it's him. We think it's him, looks like him, but I don't know. Isn't this the man used to beg, sit at the gate and beg, and some said, yeah, looks like him. And then he said, look, it's me. And they said, well, how did you get eyes, son? You didn't have eyes. We're not used to you having eyes. And he said, it was a man called Jesus, and he made some clay and put it on me, and his voice sounded as if you could trust him, and all I knew is here was a guy who wanted to help. I don't know who he was, what his education was. I don't know where he was from. I just know that I was blind and wanted to see, and he said, would you like to see? And that was enough for me. And I said, go ahead. And I heard him spit on the ground. And then he put some clay, moist clay on my sockets and told me to go wash. And I obeyed what he said. And then I could see. They said, where is he? He said, I know not. Don't know. They didn't want him to congratulate him anyway, did we? They brought the blind man to the Pharisees. Please understand, the Pharisees were the nitpickers of the day. They couldn't see good in anything. If Jesus would give them four eyes apiece, they still wouldn't have seen it. They could only find the bad in anything that happened. Don't you know some people like that? And people say, well, you ought to pray for negative people. I say, I do. I said, Lord, bless and keep negative people as far away from me as you possibly can. Never see good in anything, see? But the Pharisee said, look, I'll ask you one more time. How did you receive your sight? He told the story again. Then they said, well, they're seeing Jesus as a man, you see. Then some of them said, this man's not of God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. It's a friend, a man was blind. Had not seen in his daytime. He had never seen the light of day. He's pitiful and begging by the side of the road for a living. He's been restored and now he sees. And you hot because it was done on the Sabbath. What is the matter with you? That's your Pharisees. Had two come in the door a while ago. Came in the door. Made it 10 feet in. Don't know whether it was the music. Don't know whether they didn't like D-Day opening the door for him as a gentleman. Don't know if they didn't like Bob shaking their hand and greeting them. Don't know if I thought I was too ugly for them to come any further. But they turned around and left before they even found out what we did. Now they're going to go tell all their friends, you don't want to go down there. You better send them down here. You better bring them down here. See, our people show up just as I am without one plea. Please understand. We come just as we are. If you don't like us, you have a problem. This man's not of God. Can't be. Preaching in a bar. How could he be of God? How can a man that is a sinner do miracles, one of the other ones said. Just a minute. Pharisee turning positive. Excuse me. He just healed a man and made him see and gave him eyes. Something's wrong here. You said he's not of God. And I know people that do miracles are of God. We got a problem. It said, then there was a division among them. And that division among people about Jesus lasts until today. The division. Who he is. Where he came from. what he's trying to accomplish. Will he come back? All these questions divide men. He is the great dividing line of history. The cross is the central point of history. You either look forward to it or backward on it. It's the central point. Every atheist that's running around today, every time they sign a check, they got to put down his birthday. Just one of those little things. Newspaper, Pravda, used to come out in Russia, cussing, there is no God. Blah, 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 blah. Top page was his birthday. Excuse me. The Bible's right. We don't have to call you anything. It already says you only a fool says there's no God. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. I mean, the Jews questioned whether he was blind or not. There was no question he'd been blind. And they questioned whether he received his sight until they called his parents. They got his parents up there and asked them, is this your son? And they said, yeah, it's him. And said, well, was he born blind or not? And they said, he was born blind. They said, well, how does he see? He said, we don't know. Ask him. He's old enough. See, the parents were wise enough to know. The synagogue was more than a place to go and worship. The synagogue was the social center. The synagogue was where you went. If you'd had no food, they'd take care of you. And if you needed some help, they'd give it to you. And if you got, there was no welfare, social services, or the good programs we have today. And if you were in trouble, the synagogue would take care of you, took care of their own. And this obviously was a couple getting on up in age, because this is obviously a grown man. And they needed the synagogue. They didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. That was bad news, financially, socially, and every other way. And they were smart enough to say, hey, he's old enough to ask for himself. Ask him. They weren't going to say Jesus was Christ. See, the Jews had already said anybody that acknowledges of Christ will be put out of the synagogue. Any pressure they can to keep people coming from Jesus, just like today. Then again, they called the man that was blind and said, look, Pharisees are telling to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Wait a minute. Could we back up a minute? Would somebody like to step up and tell us wherein Jesus sent? Do you have a witness to that? No. Can you find one? No. The question came up again, is he a sinner? When they had him on trial, they tried to get him as a sinner. They tried to get him as someone who had broken the law, and they paid some people to be witnesses. They couldn't find a witness. They said, we can't find anything on this man. The only thing we can find is people that say he went around doing good. That's the only accusation we have against him, that he went around doing good. Said, surely they can't crucify you for that. They did. And will you, friends, relatives, people you know, you get fanatical, as they call us, find out who Jesus is and start obeying him and doing what he said and get your life turned around, and then go back to your whole friends and watch how quick they turn loose of you. You won't have to get rid of anybody. I loved it. I was at a home yesterday with some of our folks sitting around talking. They said, yeah, we came down here from the state they came, and we began to come to church, and then we started going to Bible study, and we had some friends come down, hadn't seen them in 7 years. Used to run around with them, and they knew, you know, how we used to do. And they came down, and we told them, look, it's getting close to 7. We go to Bible study at 7. Y'all can stay here, make 7 home, get some food in the refrigerator, watch TV, whatever you want to do, or you can get in the car and go with us. But at 7 o'clock on Monday, we go to Bible study. And the dude looked at my friend and said, what? He said, well, that's what we do. We don't miss that for anything. And the old boy said, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Isn't it funny that even the lost, we'll be proud of you when you go back and tell them you straightened your life up. Now, your quasi-friends that are just using you because you have parties and furnished liquor, they're going to be hot about that. Not because you straightened your life out, because they lost their free drinks. Okay? Understand. They're using you. Oh, not my friends. Quit buying them drinks. See how quick they leave. It's easy to test them, tell them you're going to pick them up, bring church Sunday. See how quick they leave. But see, Jesus is right. As always, says the day's growing long, night's coming when we can't work anymore. People had any idea how short the time is. This building wouldn't hold them next Sunday. Wouldn't hold. All churches in town be full, just looking for something. Kind of like after 9-1-1, you remember after the church reports came in? Standing room only, New York City. People running to church for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks. Well, we went, not a whole lot happened. Well, did you listen? Well, I listened, but I didn't take anything home with me. Did you bring anything to put it in? Gotta listen and discern. See if the man's talking to you. See if the Holy Spirit of God touches your soul while you're here. You see, we have people leave here, accept Christ, become Christians, change their lives, and couldn't tell you for the world what I said. It isn't about me. It isn't about how I preach. It's about you coming and making yourself available to the Holy Spirit of God. And I promise you, if you do that, he will answer you, save you, and turn your world around. And you will see, as this blind man saw, light that you never saw before. If people will just do like the blind man and say, I don't know who he is or where he is or what he is, where he came from. I didn't ask for his education. No, I don't know if he went to college. No, I didn't get the denomination. He just said, I just went. He said, I listened, and it happened, and that's enough for me. See, we have people like this here. I love two of my little friends that started with us very, very early. They saw an ad, an article had been written in Sun News. And where they worked, a man came in and said, y'all been looking for a church? This looks like one suits y'all. And they read the article and came and have been coming ever since. And they came looking out of curiosity and came and found the light of the scriptures, had their lives changed around, and if they're in town, they're here. I said, that is a miracle. They weren't going anywhere to church. They were through with church. They were tired of the game and wanted their lives changed around. That's what Jesus does. He makes blind people see, crippled people walk, dead people alive. You said, well, I'm none of those. Chances are some of you are all of those. I was. Why couldn't it happen to you? See, you have to get to the point in life where you're willing to admit you're wrong before you can be right. And that's hard for people like me. I tease my wife. She'll say something, and I'll say, you people who think you know everything really make us who do hot. And it's hard when you like us kind of people to admit you're wrong and to lay it down and say whatever you say. Whatever the Lord says, I'll do. They answered and said, look. They said, look, we know this man's a sinner. He said, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. One thing I can tell you about him, I was blind and now I see. And they kept pestering him. Well, what did he do? He said, I've already told you what he did. I was blind. I couldn't see. He spit on the ground. He made some clay. He put it on me, told me to go wash myself. I did, and now I see. Why do you keep asking this? Y'all want to become his followers? Oh, they hit the ceiling. They hit the ceiling. Hit the ceiling. No, we follow Moses. Blah, 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 blah. I was just sorry he didn't question them and say, I don't recall reading where Moses made anybody blind see. They were proud of following Moses, and the Son of God is standing right near them. And God the Son had just been in their midst, and it just worked a miracle for this man. And they're going to refer back to Moses, and although he was a great man and a wonderful man and a man of God, he wasn't God. And given the choice, you don't follow any man, you follow God. A man will fall. One of the greatest preachers in the world used to run with Billy Graham. They used to hold meetings together. His name's Chuck Templeton from Toronto, same city my dad is from. I heard him as a 14-year-old boy, and I heard him. My dad took me and said, you need to hear this guy. Go with me. Going to Spartanburg, and we'll listen. And we listened, and his oratory was beautiful, and English was impeccable. And his style behind the, I mean, there was he was better than Graham ever had time to be. We left. My daddy said, what did you think? I said, I don't know. Something's wrong. He said, what? I said, I don't know. Something is wrong. And I didn't think about it anymore till 20 years later when Chuck Templeton renounced Jesus Christ, became an atheist, and died one. And Billy Graham went to see him because they were roommates holding revivals together and tried to get him back and really accept the Lord. But you see, a preacher can preach well and not be saved himself. Somebody said to me the other day, you know, Beaver said, when Jesus comes the next Sunday, there's going to be a lot of full churches and empty prisons. I know. Because Chuck Colson and that crowd, they're doing prison ministry. Those boys in there studying the Bible. They got whole wings of penitentiary. They don't even have to check on now. Whole wing became Christian, and they're just there holding services. Some of them are lifers. You don't even have to check on them. They're going to be all right. One of them was released and came to the warden, and he said, well, you've done your time, and you were a good prisoner, and hope you've learned something here, and I hope life goes good with you. And today you check out, and I want to shake your hand. Didn't give us any trouble, and let me know if I can do anything for you. And he said, well, yeah, there is one thing you can do for me. He said, what? He said, well, I'm taking Chuck Colson's course, and I got 2 more weeks. Is there any way I could stay in prison 2 more weeks? He said, what? Everybody else in here is trying to get out. I'm leaving at 5. He said, I just want to stay 2 more weeks. Is there any way you can do that? Well, let him stay 2 more weeks, finish his Bible course. I said, there's something I learned. There's somebody to learn. But you can follow the greatest preacher, and then the preacher falls, but who he was talking about didn't. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. I don't care if you don't have a medical degree. If you got the penicillin, come on. I don't care. If you got the medicine, bring it on. It's not the man, and in too many cases it is. Follow the man. Well, have you heard about, you know, who's one of the worst preachers that ever lived, according to Scripture, from what we can gather? The Apostle Paul had an eye disease, was ugly, little old bitty thin toe-out man. He commends others. He said, I can't speak, but I got something to tell you. And he came. And there was none of this colorful pulpits and the music and the whole, you know, how we make a pageant of it. There was none of that. He just showed up, said, take a seat and let's talk. And if you read carefully, sometime it'd go from 6 at night to 12. Because he had the good news. It doesn't matter who tells you, long as they tell you the gospel story that Jesus came as the Son of God, as God the Son, and he died on Calvary's cross and shed his blood for the sins of mankind, and anybody who will believe that, and that he rose from the dead by faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, is a born again son of the living God and will live in his presence forever. And as long as your preacher gets that out, I don't care about his education, where he came from, what he looks like, or how he sounds, as long as he gets that out. Old Dr. Bob used to say, I'll back a yellow dog barking for Jesus. Amen. Amen. And God has a way. He'll put those with higher educations from Yale and Harvard in the large places where the intellectuals go. He knows where to put them. He knows not to send that man to the back hills of West Virginia and Kentucky where they meet and handle snakes. They won't listen to him. But you send somebody there, and there's somebody there today in every pulpit. God's put somebody to reach those particular people. He knows what he's doing. And sent me. Right here. For your benefit. Well, what can that boy preach? He's not very good, and he's not very smart, and he's right ugly, and he ought to lose 100 pounds. But he does preach the gospel. Just get that last part in. I don't care what else, what you put in front of it, the back of it. You get that back. You get that part in. And then you bring people that you know and I know that we socialize with and have a good time with, that if they died today, they'd go straight to hell. We both know it. Please bring them. Please come and learn how to share your faith with them, because there's a few people on earth. You're not supposed to hate anybody, but I'm so close to hating them, it's scary. But even them, I don't want to go to hell. I'd wish that on no man. Until we get serious about keeping people out, they're going to go by the droves because they think they're all right. Just like you think I'm talking to somebody else. So let's you and I do it. If nobody else does, let's us do it. Let's get a few under the preaching of the gospel. Let's get a few under sharing of the faith. And let's see some friends who are lost and dying and going to hell change their lives and change their destiny. It's in your hands and mine. Let's don't fail. And let us one day hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather in your name, that we can hear from heaven, that we can preach your word. Lord Jesus, how exciting it is to know one day we'll face you face to face. And boy, that's good news for us who know you. It's not too good a news for those who don't. And if there be one here today who has never can point to their life and say, "There was a day when I recognized I had broken the laws of God, I'd become a sinner, and I'd sinned willingly, and I couldn't pay for that. And I need that pay for, and I understand only the blood of Christ pays for that, that your death on Calvary is the only thing that'll take away sin." And as an adult or a teenager here today, I would like to call on you to save me. I don't know where you are. I can't see you. I don't know much about your background. I just hadn't studied the Bible. I haven't been to Bible school. I don't know all that. All I know is I'm blind and I need to see. And would you please touch my eyes? Would you please let me see the light? Would you please bring me from darkness, Lord Jesus? Forgive my sins. Count me among the redeemed. Count me among the saved. Would you do that? And if you've never done that, where you sit today, you just say that prayer to him and he will do that for you. And as we sing, we don't ask people to come to the front and all. And for people who do that, that's wonderful. But God knows where you are right now. He's looking for you. And if you're looking for him, why don't you meet on the plain of prayer and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm blind and I want to see. Please help me." And I promise he'll do his part. Thank you, Lord. Be with those families who lost their loved ones in that terrible calamity we have. I know the sadness is overwhelming. And please be with them in their sorrow. Be with those among us who are sick, need a touch from you, and be with little Frankie. And help us, Lord, to bring the light to the friends we have here who are in darkness. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. And for his sake, amen.